December is here, and what better way to celebrate the holiday season than giving back?
We're in the middle of what we call 5 weeks of giving. 5 weeks of giving is the last 5 weeks of the year in which a person can get connected to us.
Find out about a community program that it's literally saving lives right here in Howard County.
We've trained over 48,000 people just in Howard County alone.
The wow.
program, our providers, our EMTs, our firefighters, they're performing the same type of high-performance, hands-only CPR. And our survival rates here in Howard County have tripled since we've implemented the program.
The Howard County Library invites you to be part of an initiative that is good not just during the holidays, but year-round.
And so we're looking at different ways where we as individuals can do small, kind things to create a more bonded, engaged community where we're just nicer to each other.
These stories coming up in December's episode of HOCA Journal, starting right now. Hi, and welcome to the final episode of 2016 of HOCA Journal, the show where we highlight the unique and interesting people, businesses, nonprofit organizations, and events happening right here in Howard County. I am your host, Cris Oviedo. December is a very special month where giving comes to the forefront of our lives. And who doesn't like that cozy feeling we get after we have given something, either big or small, to somebody that we love? But what if you could take that spirit of giving even farther and extend it all year round and even to people you don't really know? To talk to us about an amazing opportunity to help others, over the phone with me, I have James Wynn. He's the Vice President of Development with Volunteers of America Chesapeake. James, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, especially when you have organizations like Volunteers of America Chesapeake. It doesn't matter what season of the year it is. I think we can always have a really warm feeling when we look at organizations as such, like the one you're representing today. So let's just start by, you know, with a very broad question. What is Volunteers of America Chesapeake?
Volunteers of America is a national organization. And we've been around for about 120 years. So the organization was founded in 1896 and was founded by social reformers Maud and Ballington Booth. Two things that people don't know about Volunteers of America is that, one, we're actually a spinoff of the Salvation Army, and two, we're a church. So our founder, Ballington Booth, is the son of William Booth, who is the founder of the Salvation Army, and years ago, the two had a disagreement in how services should be provided related to the church. At that time, in the mid-late 1800s, Salvation Army only provided services to folks who were members of the Salvation Army Church, and Ballington thought that services should be provided to folks who are in need first, and then if they wanted to become part of the church, then that would be a secondary option. And thus, Volunteers of America was born. Our name is a bit of a misnomer. It comes from Ballington's close relationship with Teddy Roosevelt, who had the all-volunteer army. So we're not an organization that provides volunteers. We're actually a human service organization, and the volunteers' name is actually a militia term, like the Tennessee Volunteers.
Wow, that is, you know, that's a fantastic piece of history right there.
Yeah, that's a little bit of history. We serve about 2.5 million people across the country today.
Wow.
We're in every state except Hawaii and North Dakota. So we provide an array of services across the country as well as in Puerto Rico, ranging from child adoption to community corrections, veterans, and affordable housing, which, by the way, we are the largest provider of veteran support services across the country. We're also the second largest provider of affordable housing in the United States.
And I'm glad that you started talking a little bit about the services, because that's exactly where I wanted to go next. I have a list here in front of me of everything that you guys provide. So I guess in a nutshell, if we can just kind of like touch each one of them, and we could start with homelessness services, and we'll just keep going down the list.
Yeah, one thing about Volunteers of America and Volunteers of America Chesapeake is we really like to be holistic in any service that we provide. So that means serving the whole person, really getting to the root of what their issues are, whatever may actually cause the homelessness. And we know that a large percentage of homelessness is caused by either mental health or substance abuse. But then there are also other causes, which could be anything from the fact that a person was put up for adoption and lived in foster care most of their life, and when they aged out, they had no place to go. They became homeless. So Volunteers of America provides services for all folks on that spectrum, including what we classify today as the working poor. Those are individuals or families who actually have full-time employment, but not enough income to sustain themselves within their respective community. So we also serve them in our homeless shelters, as well as in our transitional living programs and in our permanent supportive housing programs.
Now, you also talked about helping veterans and being the largest organization serving veterans in the United States. Can you talk a little more about the services you guys provide there?
Across the country, again, we provide a full array of veteran services, all the way from going out into the woods and abandoned buildings across the country to seek veterans out who have kind of taken themselves out of society. They've come back from serving time, whether it be in Vietnam or in the Desert Storm or any of the recent wars and or conflicts. And when they got back, they didn't receive the services that they were promised, or they didn't receive them in a timely manner, or faced a bunch of red tape. And so they decided that they were told a lie and they were not going to participate. And so they now live on the fringes of our society. And we have veterans on our staff who actually go out into the communities and seek those folks out, trying to get them connected to services, trying to get them the services that they were promised that they absolutely deserve, and also get them reconnected as much as they would like to be. And then also we have what we call our veterans support services, where there may be veterans who have come back, were not able to regain employment to the level that they had before they went away, and now they need just a little bit of help. So they might need help with paying back rent. They might need help with utility bills or medical bills or anything like that that we sometimes take for granted, transportation, et cetera. And we provide that with support from the community as well as some support directly from the VA. And then we also provide housing.
And talking about housing, you guys have a link on your website that's called Supportive Housing. Is that the same services related to both homelessness and veteran services, or is that a wing of its own that works differently than those two services that we just talked about?
It does work a little bit differently, but it is part of the continuum for both veterans and homelessness. So with supported housing, we're specifically working with folks who are low income, who could not afford market rate housing. We actually build housing and build properties of this nature so that we can support folks like this. In fact, in Howard County, we are in partnership with Howard County, along with Volunteers of America, our national office, and we're also seeking out community partners to provide 35 units of affordable housing for formerly homeless and veterans as well in that community. We're also working with a community group called Grassroots to provide support services to homeless and veterans in the community within Howard County who might just need employment services or even need just a place to get mail to or take a shower, get a quick meal, things like that.
things that we take for granted and that we just simply go about our day lives, you know, without really thinking much about it. So, and it's a real struggle for some other people. So it's I'm glad that you brought that into perspective here. You guys also do a lot with developmental disability, behavioral health services, and substance abuse. And as you were talking earlier, that's bringing it all together into that holistic approach of looking at not just one area, but all of the areas that could put a person in, I guess, at a risk situation. So some of, can you just give us a little bit of what you guys do there?
When you look at developmental disabilities, intellectual disabilities, as well as behavioral health issues, those are areas that folks most times don't understand or maybe a little bit afraid of. And a lot of times that's caused by the fact that they don't understand those areas. So you may have a person who has an intellectual disability and they never progress as far as mentality past the age of 7. Though physically they grow to be an adult, but their functionality is really that of a 7-year-old. So they need special care. They might need 24-hour special care. And what happens is oftentimes families, because they're afraid or because they don't have much knowledge, they just become very, very tired. And they send their loved ones to organizations like Volunteers of America to provide that 24-hour care to those individuals. Who also, same thing with behavioral health, where you may progress as functionality-wise as an adult, and then suddenly you come down with a behavioral health disorder, whether it's caused by a long stint of depression, and in the case of a veteran, it could be caused by post-traumatic stress syndrome, where there are other issues where you basically are no longer able to function without the aid of medication or cognitive therapy. And so we also provide care to those individuals on a 24-hour basis as well.
And the last program that I found on your website is the Community Corrections, which I thought was really interesting because not many organizations have something like this.
You know, and that goes way back to our history. Our founder, Maude Booth, was the first woman to go into Sing Sing. And if you could imagine, back in the 1800s, conditions in prisons were deplorable.
Mm-hmm.
Maude Booth had received a letter from someone who was in prison basically saying, hey, I heard about all the great work that you're doing out in the communities, but we need someone to come here to help us because, you know, we don't have proper running water. We can't, our toilet facilities aren't working. They're brutalizing us within the facilities, et cetera. And so Maude actually went in, saw the conditions, and started. And if you can imagine, for a woman to do this in the 1800s is just remarkable, and started prison reform in this country. That today translates into our community corrections programs, where, again, we serve the whole person. We get to people who are at the last 6 months of their sentence, about to come back into the community. We get them, and we help them to make that transition in a healthy way, whether they need help with mental health services, substance abuse services, or they need help finding adequate housing, employment, all of those things. They may even need very basic things like life skills and learning how to properly clean a house, properly cook for yourself. Those types of things that we take for granted as individuals, we help them with, and we help them to make the transition into being productive citizens. And we can proudly say that in the state of Maryland, we have a recidivism rate that is about 45%, meaning that if 45% of these people who are released from prison are going back, our recidivism rate is much, much closer to 25%. So we're doing about 100%, 50% better than the regular prison system, and that's because of the level of care that we provide to the individuals who are coming home and that holistic approach to services.
That actually brings me to my next question. Who qualifies for your services, and how do they get connected with you guys?
In order to qualify for our services, we work with the most vulnerable people who may not qualify for any other services. For our homeless services, you simply have to be homeless. If you have a substance abuse issue, then you can come into one of our facilities. And for mental health, you're referred by your jurisdiction to one of our group homes or to one of our other facilities that work specifically with mental health. Same thing for intellectual disabilities. You will be referred by your specific jurisdiction, and that would be whatever county that you're in. For community corrections, you're referred by the Federal Bureau of Prisons. And we serve people for community corrections in 4 states. You can contact us by our website, which is www.voachesapeake.org. We're on Facebook at voachesapeake.org, and we're also on Twitter under that same handle.
We've talked about the services that you guys provide, but as you were saying, this is hard work and you guys need good people. So people who are interested in joining forces and help you guys out, what are some of the opportunities available there, and how do they find more information and connect with you guys as well?
We're in the middle of what we call 5 weeks of giving. 5 weeks of giving is the last 5 weeks of the year in which a person can get connected to us. Of course, we are looking for cash donations. That's the best way for folks to help us. But we're also looking for, as you said, partners, folks who are willing to volunteer with us, folks who are willing to partner with us in some sort of way. I'll give you a good example. Just providing all new furniture, repainting, and kind of refurbishing homes, building gardens and facilities, reading to children in the facilities, helping us with lunches or breakfast or dinner and passing those out at facilities. So there are a number of ways that folks can get involved. We're looking for partners, particularly in our Howard County program, as we expect that to be built in October. But we need folks to help with transportation. We know that the location of that facility is a place where transportation is not the best. And we're looking to help folks to kind of get to the facility in order to receive services, but also transportation for folks who are actually living in the facility to go out into the communities and find employment and find other ways that they can get engaged in terms of occupational training or educational. We're running a special partnership with WUSA 9 currently, and folks may have seen it on television. It started on Thanksgiving, and it runs to right before Christmas, where folks can give gifts or go onto the website and seek opportunities to volunteer. We're asking everyone to go on to social media, support our hashtag 5 weeks of giving, find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter, go to our website, www.voachesapeake.org, and find ways that they would like to get involved.
And that's great that we are just, you know, using this time as we wrap this conversation up today. And I know we've only like scraped the surface of what you guys offer. I had so many more questions. I know that there's like the Gifts of Hope, Operation Backpack, and many other things that we didn't get a chance to talk about today. But if everybody just goes to the website, it's very easy to navigate. There's links for each one of the services, and you can find more information on how to get involved. If you need some of the services, you can find all that information right there on that website. There's also links there, buttons that you can just click on to take action right away. The Gifts of Hope, for instance, you can just click on the link and buy a gift of hope, and this gives. What I really appreciated about it is that they're different. They're not just, you know, little things that look pretty. These are gifts that could actually make a difference and set somebody up into a path of success. So do go to the website. James, I'm going to ask you to give that website one more time. We can't stretch it enough.
Sure. It's www.voachesapeake.org. I'm glad that you mentioned Gifts of Hope, because that is, you're exactly right. You know, someone can give $10 and help support transportation, for instance, in Howard County, or they can give $25 and help support a toy for a child for the holidays, for a homeless child, or even a backpack filled with school supplies for the, you know, someone who became homeless and lost everything. So those are very, very important. So thank you again for that. And again, the website is www.voachesapeake.org.
And I'm going to repeat it one more time, www.voachesapeake.org, in case you had not had a chance to grab your pen and paper and write it down yet. And there's more ideas, you know, there's more ideas. Maybe you're like, well, I would like to volunteer and I would like to help out, but I'm not sure that any of these options are exactly what I'm looking for. There's a whole list of ways that you can start participating and volunteering and helping out. There's just a great, great, great list there of ideas that you can take part of. So, James, again, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And for HOKA Journal, I am Cris Oviedo, and we will be right back.
The storks are bringing me a baby brother! We can do this together!
All right, let's go!
Storks know how to keep kids safe. Do you?
What?
Oh, my gosh, you don't know.
I know.
You don't? Oh, man, you laugh when you're uncomfortable.
No.
Making sure your child is in the right car seat is one of the steps to safer travel.
I will rock this!
You will rock this!
To know for sure that your child is in the right car seat for their age and size, visit safercar.gov/the right seat.
Cool, cool, cool. Very cool, very cool.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Howard County Journal. Matt Trudell here, and in studio with me today is Catherine Larkins, and she is the risk reduction educator for the Howard County Department of Fire and Rescue Services. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Matt. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for coming in. We are actually recording this right before Thanksgiving break, so it's I appreciate you had some time this week for me.
Not at all. Thank you for having me come out.
So tell us about yourself and what you do. I guess what is part of being a risk reduction educator for the Howard County Department of Fire and Rescue Services?
Absolutely. So my original title when I was first hired was CPR instructor, community CPR instructor. My main focus was the community CPR program that we have in the county. As Howard County Fire and Rescue, we like to introduce a lot of different programs to our community. So that kind of became more programs. So I wasn't just teaching CPR. I was teaching other programs in a risk reduction type way to help prevent things from happening, controlling things when they happen. So created my title of risk reduction educator. So what I do is I go out to the community and I teach these different programs that Howard County has to offer to the community members, to the employees, to the residents of Howard County.
I know CPR is one of them because that's what we're talking about today. But what are some of the other, I guess, things that you go out and educate people about?
Okay, so we educate people about, for one, our fire safety program, making sure you have working smoke alarms in your home, checking the batteries, changing the batteries, fire safety in general, no open flames, things of that nature. Along with our smoke alarm, we have what's called a Project Safe, which is a smoke alarm for everyone. So anytime that we go out on a call to a person's home, we always check to see if they have a working smoke alarm. If for some reason they don't have a working smoke alarm in their house, we will provide one for them.
Okay.
Because it can be a major cause of death if you don't have a working smoke alarm in your home and something happens. So on every call, whether it's a medical call, whether it's a fire call, there's always somebody that checks to see if there is a working smoke alarm in that home. If not, we do provide one.
Okay. Do you also go out, and are you part of like the ones who go out to like the schools to talk to kids as well, or?
Yeah, so that's part of our community outreach program as well. So we have a public education specialist, normally one of our career firefighters, but we have our safety house, our fire safety house. So it's a kind of a pull behind trailer.
Yeah.
And they go to the second and third graders, and they go around to the different schools, this time of year in the fall, and they have all, you know, they talk about the fire safety. We also have Dress the Firefighters, so they go to some of the younger groups, and the kids can put on the uniform, the turnout gear. But that is all part of our fire safety programs that we do offer.
I remember doing that when I was in elementary school. It was awesome. It was
like the best day. Yeah. Yes.
Especially because it was just like this house built into like a pull-along trailer.
Yep.
Like
there's a little kitchen in it. There's little rooms, and the smoke builds up, and you got to crawl, and the kids love it. So, but it's educational as well. It's not just you know, fun to look at.
I'm 20, almost 28 now, and I still remember that. So, I mean, sometimes you need to have a little fun to educate as well.
Of course. It's knowledge and fun at any age.
Yeah. How long have you been involved with Fire and Rescue?
So, with my risk reduction educator / community CPR instructor, I've been with the county for almost 3 years now.
Okay.
In that capacity, but I'm also a volunteer medic in the county, and I've been volunteering for the past 5 years.
Okay. What made you want to get involved with this?
Well, I actually was recommended for the position. I had one of our captains call me, who knew me from volunteering, and I've also worked at local emergency rooms, hospitals in the area for the past 15 years. So somebody I knew very well for a long time, because I would see him come into the hospital as a paramedic, called me one day and said, "Hey, we have a job opening for a CPR instructor. Would you be interested?" And I'm sure, a little part-time job, you know, something that I've kind of always inquired about, the CPR. I've done it, CPR on a lot of people. So I'm like, I'd love to instruct it, absolutely. So came in for the interview, had no idea that it was the community CPR program. So they had asked me if I knew what they were talking about. I was like, nope. So they explained it to me, and I was like, this is a great program. And ever since then, it's became more. I kind of came in 6 months to a year after initially being created. But we've done so much with it. We've trained over 48,000 people just in Howard County alone. The program, our providers are EMTs or firefighters. They're performing the same type of high performance, hands only CPR. And our survival rates here in Howard County have tripled since we've implemented the program. So it does save lives. It does make a difference. It's a lot simpler than the traditional CPR certification program, which is only necessary if your job requires you to have that certification. If your job doesn't require you to have one, then it's not necessary, because the Good Samaritan law protects you and covers any type of medical care that you try to perform on a person.
Okay. So,
which most people don't know.
Yeah, I didn't. I had no idea of that. Because, I mean, that's probably something, you know, I mean, hopefully in the moment, you know, just natural, it just takes over and you go do it. But I mean, I'm sure maybe some people have that cross their mind. So that's something that is important to know.
What happens a lot is people get what we call the bystander effect. You know, somebody's in need, laying on the ground, needs help, and everybody just kind of stands around and watches. You know, they think things in their mind, you know, well, I used to know CPR. I took it, like, I don't know, like 10, 15 years ago. Oh, I don't want to help him. I don't want to get sued. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I just better stay back and not do anything at all, which is a completely wrong way to approach it.
Yep.
Because anything that you're able to do, you know, is something, and something's always better than nothing. So the program that we have, it teaches you very basic. The certification classes can be very long in length, very extensive in the information, and they're not really meant for the average community member, the bystander.
Yeah.
Those certification classes are meant for the healthcare providers, the individuals who may do CPR on a regular basis, but they're very long classes. Whereas our class, we teach you the same information, just a lot simpler. We make sure you understand the information before you leave, and it's completely free. If you have a group of 20 or more, we will come to you anywhere in Howard County and teach the program. You can always come to us at any of our locations, our training locations, or any of a firehouse that we have. You know, we provide the training at any point in time, nights, weekends, you know, days, evenings. It doesn't matter. It's just something that we want everybody to know. And that's been our goal and our story behind it. And that's how we've been able to train so many people and have lives saved, because of people knowing exactly what to do.
So, speaking specifically on the next time that you're having a CPR event, which is December 7th, It's the Adult, Child, and Infant CPR, AED, and Choking Relief event?
That's correct. So we have that class that's going to be held at, I believe, our Public Safety Training Academy in Marriottsville. So it's kind of right off of 99-144 Sand Hill Road, but it's open to the public. Anybody is more than welcome to attend. The class is from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and we go over the Adult, Child, Infant CPR, AED, and Choking Relief. So it's everything that a certification class would have. It's just without that card at the end, and that's okay. How we are able to offer it for free.
Okay. And is there an age minimum or limit?
Nope, not at all. We encourage kids of all ages to come and take this class. You know, bring your kids with you. It can be a family event. We do, if there are kids in the class, we do kind of make it age appropriate for them. You know, we've taught kids as young as 2 or 3, 5 to 6. All ages. They may not be able to understand the background of CPR, how it works, what the process is, but they love pushing on the mannequins.
That's their
ice cream at the end of the night. You know, they love pushing, and they do have a hard time pushing, but they try. They give it their all, and if it's just them and their parent or their grandparent or teacher or any type of other person, they'll know something, and they can be like, oh, this person's not waking up. I'm supposed to push on their chest.
Yeah.
And if they can't physically do it, then they can always tell an adult actually what to do.
Yeah, and I mean, if you start them young and, mm-hmm. you know, take them every year or whatever, you know, it's like it'll just become like second nature to them.
Yep,
you
it
know?
Just kind of kicks in. They're like, oh, I haven't done that in a while. I need to go back and learn. So absolutely, kids of all ages are welcome. We don't want daycare to be an issue of why you don't attend the class. So kids are more than welcome.
Okay. Kind of answered this a little earlier, but who should learn CPR? I mean, I think you pretty much said anybody. Yeah.
Oh, everyone. Absolutely. So sudden cardiac arrest can happen to anyone, anytime, anywhere. It doesn't matter age, sex, race, gender, economic status. Children can go into sudden cardiac arrest at any time. You know, you can be 6 years old, you can be 13 years old, and it happens for different reasons. Some type of medical issue, traumatic injury, choking, the unknown. It can happen for a lot of different reasons, and you can save a life. 88% of all sudden cardiac arrests happen in either the home or the workplace. You know, you're at work for 8, 10, 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
You may not like your coworkers, but hopefully you don't want them to die.
Yeah.
You're going to do what you can to save their life. Or you're at home with your loved ones, and you're always going to do something to save their life.
So how often should people brush up on their CPR training?
Honestly, whenever you feel the need to. You know, if it comes across, I say at least every year to 2 years. Some people remember things better than others, so considering that our classes are completely free, you can come take our classes every month, mm-hmm. every 6 months, every year. It's something that we're always going to offer and continue to offer the community, because our goal is to train everyone in Howard County. So we've only hit about maybe a third of the population.
That's still really impressive, though. Mm-hmm. 48,000 people, mm-hmm. that's like...
Actually, I'm sorry. That's about only a tenth of the population.
Still, though, that's a lot of people. People don't really think about how many people there are in this county, but I mean...
And that's just in this county, and we do, even if you don't live in the county, we do encourage you to come and take our classes as well. We have individuals from Anne Arundel County, Baltimore County, PG County, Montgomery County all come and take this class. Our local jurisdictions and fire departments in the surrounding counties, some of them do have the same type of program. But if you work in Howard County, but you may live in another county, you know, you're still a visitor / employee of Howard County. And that's who we want to learn. Because if you do work in Howard County, spend any time in Howard County, you can help save somebody.
Yeah.
So
that was actually my exact next question was, do you have to be a Howard County resident to do it? Because how often do you guys do events like these, like the CPR ones or just any other event?
So I average about 3 to 4 CPR classes a week.
Okay.
And that can be sometimes on top of another program that we have called Bleeding Control, which I offer a couple classes of that a week as well. So we have classes all the time. The ones that we open to the public for the CPR or about twice a month.
Okay.
We try to do one at the western end of the county in Marriottsville, and then one at our headquarters in Columbia, off Columbia Gateway Drive.
Okay.
But we do classes all the time because most people do want us to come out to them. So we do Boy Scout troops, we do churches, we do businesses, local organizations, and so we'll come out to you. So we do classes all the time. Like I said, I average about 3 to 4 CPR classes a week. Obviously, some weeks are busier than others, but yeah, all the time. Different events, so on the weekends, health fairs. We're always out at health fairs with a booth, teaching CPR, teaching bleeding control. We have another program called Remembering When. So there's a lot of programs that we do offer for the community that are all completely for free, and will come to you.
Do people have to register for the CPR?
We like them to, yes. So what you do is you just go onto our website, howardcountymd.gov, and follow the Fire and Rescue website. You go into For the Community, and there's a whole page right on CPR, and there's a separate kind of link that you can follow to sign up for classes, and it has all our upcoming classes. We don't have 2017 out quite yet, but hopefully in the next week or two, those classes will be available for sign up as well.
And I'm guessing on there you can find out more about the other, like, I guess, events that you do, the other programs.
Yes, so all our programs that we do have are on our website. Our bleeding control program, which is kind of a newer program that we have, we've only had that for about 3 to 4 months. But out in the community, we have kits, bleeding control kits, and they're a little orange kit. And we've actually placed them with a lot of AEDs in the county. And in the kits are tourniquets, quick clot combat gauze, bandages, scissors, gloves, things of that nature. So if anybody has any type of life-threatening bleeding, whether it's from a home injury, a work injury, or any type of traumatic event, these kits can help save somebody's life because they can bleed out within a matter of a few minutes, depending on where that bleeding is coming from and things of that nature. So these kits are there to help save somebody's life. So they are out in the community as well. So we do offer free classes on that. So those are under a special initiatives on our website. And then we have the CPR.
And would the website, or I guess, how can people best get in contact with you or the Department of Fire and Rescue Services? Like, what's the best way to get in contact?
So the best way, so we have a couple different ways to contact us. We have an outreach email. So it's outreach@hcdfrs.org. We also have a hands-only CPR email, which is hands-only-CPR@hcdfrs.org. They can always call our main phone number, 410-313-6000, and the operator can direct the call depending on what the need is. You know, whether if it's for the CPR program, it'll come to me. If it's for a fire safety, a smoke alarm, bleeding control, it'll go to our community outreach specialist, Brad Tanner, or whoever it needs to go to.
Well, this has been a fascinating interview, and I learned a lot. So thank you very much for dropping by today.
No
and
problem.
I know that the students in the community will enjoy hearing about this as well. The event is December 7th from 6 to 8 p.m. It is the Adult, Child, and Infant CPR, AED, and Choking Relief class, I guess.
Absolutely.
This has been Catherine Larkins, the Risk Reduction Educator for the Howard County Department of Fire and Rescue Services. Thank you very much for joining me.
You're very welcome. And I would like to add, we do also have another class coming up in December, December 14th, because the December 7th one is in the western end of the county, Marriottsville. But we also do have one at our headquarters location off Columbia Gateway Drive from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. as well on December 14th.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in, and make sure you guys go out and learn. It's 2 hours, you know, and you could save a life. So
absolutely. Very simple.
It makes sense to me, at least. All right. We will be right back. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Hello, Kubo. What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure.
Hey!
So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
For HOCO Journal, I'm Alex Baker. In the past, I have interviewed Allie Jessing, the events and seminars manager of Howard County Public Library, about the events that Howard County Public Libraries offers. We covered events in the beginning of this year and in the summer. Well, she's back, and this time ready to talk about the events coming up for the rest of the fall and winter. Allie, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
Always good to have you. So, I guess first question will just lead us off with is, for those who haven't listened to the show before or maybe this first time hearing you, tell us about what you do as events and seminars manager.
I have a very interesting and super fun job. I get to plan all the events and meet the author opportunities, classes, seminars, workshops, pretty much anything you can imagine that we teach at the library. I help plan and organize those events.
So how long would it say for like a certain event take for like all the planning and preparation and getting it booked? How long would you say that takes for you?
It depends on the event. Some things we plan on 24 hours notice when an opportunity arises. Other things we plan actually normally our lead time is almost a year. Averaging probably about 6 to 9 months. But some things we really when we have a speaker that is in high demand or really blowing up on the scene and we want to book them now, we will put people on our schedule a year or more in advance.
I imagine for those 24-hour things, those would be tense, high-pressure situations.
They're a little stressful, but that's why there's coffee, you know?
And so now we talked earlier, I think, remember at the beginning of the summer, wasn't it?
Yes, I believe so.
So for those of us for people who missed that show, just give us sort of a review. So what were the really big popular events you had back in the summer?
A big thing over the summer was our summer reading club, which was for adults or students. Anybody can participate in that. And that is a challenge to read as many books as you can. You enter or drop in an entry form for every book you read, and you're eligible to win a prize. So we have monthly winners at every branch, and then we have an end-of-summer grand prize system-wide prize package for one lucky person. And then there's different themes and games and opportunities throughout the summer to do different things with the Summer Reading Club theme. This past summer, the theme was exercise your mind. So it was all about mental and physical fitness. So we really focused on that. Like part of the prize packages that you could take home every month was a pedometer. Things like that, just to encourage engagement with that theme and encourage reading. And our other big event that we had was our Community Safety Day, which was in partnership with Howard County Police Department and the Howard County Department of Fire and Rescue Services. They brought McGruff, the crime dog, along, and we had about 700 people come through that day to meet our police officers and some of our first responders, get their picture taken with McGruff. They brought the mobile command center down from you know, they've been actually had it in Ellicott City with as part of the recovery efforts recently, but they brought it up so people could get inside and actually tour that. It's basically a big giant RV, but with a lot of television monitors and communication equipment. So you can kind of see how they can go anywhere in the county and immediately respond to an emergency. They also brought fire trucks, ambulances, police cruisers. They brought the canine unit, but it was pretty hot that day, so they stayed inside because we don't want their dogs to get hot. Motorcycle unit, all kinds of really cool. It was great to see all the equipment in one place and get to meet and talk to the first responders.
Yeah, that really sounds cool.
It is cool, and we're definitely going to do it again next year.
And so I guess now we'll just dive right into the fall events. I know when we were going back and forth on email, the one thing you really wanted to talk about was the Choose Civility Week. So tell us all about that.
Choose Civility Week is every year. It's October 2nd to October 8th. Every year is a different theme. And this year's theme is Kindness Creates Community. And so we're looking at different ways where we as individuals can do small, kind things to create a more bonded, engaged community where we're just nicer to each other. So one of the things that we're going to do with Choose Civility this year are distribute kindness packets. And kindness packets are a little envelope you can pick up at a library or at our alliance partners. We're also going to have a kickoff night, which I'll talk about. And in that packet, you'll find some note cards, a list of suggested kindness acts that you could do, a decal for like a window cling kind of thing for your car or notebook or whatever, some temporary tattoos and a couple other things. And what we're hoping that people will do is kind of pay it forward within the community. So whether it's, you know, adding a little bit of time on somebody's parking meter when you see it's about to expire on the street, leave a couple postcards with some postage stamps on them under somebody's windshield wiper and say, hey, drop a line to somebody you miss. You're going through the drive-through line at Starbucks, pay for the coffee behind you, or just something little like that.
Keep that going.
Yeah. So, you know, it doesn't have to be something that you spend all day doing. It can just be a spontaneous kindness. And you hope that that will inspire other people to do a small spontaneous kindness to somebody else. And by the ripple effect, you know, we hope that we'll see a lot of just random nice activities happening in our community. And we're going to hand out these kits with a list of kind of suggestions to help encourage that and facilitate that.
And is this the first time you're doing this?
This is, this will be the first time we're doing the kindness packets. This is like a tie-in for this theme, Kindness Creates Community. And we'll be having a kickoff event on October 6th at the Coho Grill. So you can drop by, pick up a kindness packet, talk to us about kind of suggestions for things you could do, whether it's, you know, walking your neighbor's dog when they're not feeling well, or, you know, volunteering at the food bank to helping organize pantry items, things like that. And, you know, get some inspiration from us, talk to other people, talk to our alliance partners. The other thing that we're going to do with our Choose Civility theme this year is a hackathon, and that'll be on November 5th. And we're going to hack for the community. So,
hack as in like computer hacking?
Yeah, but in the good way.
Okay.
hacking kind of has this pejorative connotation, but this is the good kind of hack. We're going to give you a problem. Like, you can register as an individual or as a team, and it's open to grades 6 through adults. Like, any, you know, you can register by age group or in the 18 plus category. And we're going to give you a challenge that is facing, you know, something that our community is facing as a challenge. An example might be how to coordinate the relief efforts for Ellicott City's flooding, people who are affected by that. Like, how could we use technology to create a cohesive database of donations or resources? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we could just, somebody could go to this one spot or download this one app and get all this information. So for our hack, we'll be giving people a challenge, and they will, that would, that somebody in the community is facing or a group in the community is facing, and they'll have about 6 hours to build a website or an app or come up with some kind of technology solution for that problem within your team. And we'll be assigning mentors, people who are experts in the technology field, to those teams so that they have some kind of expert guidance as they develop the challenge.
That sounds really interesting.
It's going to be really fun, and it'll be November 5th at the Miller Branch Library. Registration is going to open late September, and you can go to choosecivility.org to learn more about the hackathon and to register.
Almost feels like Mr. Robot now.
Yeah, kind of.
I was also looking, one thing I saw interesting when I was looking at your calendar events coming up in October is the DSLR intro. So tell us a little bit about that.
That DSLR intro is going to be a 7-part workshop, and it's taught by Jeffrey Baker, who is one of our photographers on staff at the library. He is an award-winning photographer, both for his work for the library system just and as an artist. He just creates just absolutely beautiful work. And he is a great resource for us at the library, and so he agreed to teach this 7-part series on DSL cameras and EVIL cameras. So he'll go through that with you, you know, how to really understand how your camera functions and how you can get the best use out of it. And each session will cover a different aspect of your camera, really like get to know your equipment, because if you don't know your equipment, you don't know what it can do.
Oh yeah.
So he is just a wealth of information. You're going to get a master class in photography equipment with Jeff. So sign up for that one because it's going to fill up.
And I know you, when we talked a couple of times, you always have author visits. So during either in the fall, starting in October, or in the winter, do you have any author visits?
We do. Unfortunately, we had to reschedule one because of scheduling conflicts. But we also have Ned Tellman coming on October 20th. And his book, Saving the Places We Love, is our Howard County Book Connection selection for this year. And that's a partnership with the library and HCC and Hoko Palitzo. So we're encouraging people to read this book, Saving the Places We Love, which is about sustainability in our local environments. You know, really thinking about how we engage with our environment, reducing the amount of trash we're putting into landfills, recycling more, composting more, really investing energy mm-hmm. into our environments so that we can preserve them. And he'll be at the Miller Branch on October 20th. And he'll be there. He'll have books available. And HCC students can get diversity credit for attending that event. So there'll be a sign-in sheet there for if you're an HCC student and you want to get credit for attending that talk. October 20th, Miller Branch, 7 p.m. It says Central Branch in our events magazine, but unfortunately, Central Branch may not have reopened from their renovations by then, so we're moving it to Miller.
All right. And another thing, when I was looking, you have a few movie events coming up?
We do. We have our New Release Cinema, which is a series where we show new release DVDs on the big screen. Ooh. But we also have a special election series coming up at the East Columbia branch. And we'll be showing the candidate election, which I have a particular fondness for because it's an Alexander Payne movie.
Is that Reese Witherspoon?
Yes. If you look very closely, you can see my friend Rachel in the background of one of the scenes. It was filmed in Omaha, where I grew up. And then we'll also be showing Street Fight, which is a documentary about Cory Booker's first Senate campaign run. Mm-hmm. So we'll be showing those throughout the fall as kind of a tie-in to the upcoming election.
And the candidate, that's Robert Redford?
It is, correct, okay. Yes.
And another thing I noticed that was kind of interesting, on October 12th, and it says November 11th and the 18th, you have Astronomy Night?
Yeah, those are for, I believe it's ages 11 to 18. Well, weather permitting, we'll have some high-powered telescopes out in our Enchanted Garden at Miller Branch, where you'll be able to see into the night sky and really explore some of the planetary alignments and the moon conditions. It'll, of course, hopefully we'll have a nice, clear, beautiful night. Mm-hmm. But if the weather's looking gloomy or cloudy, you might want to check in with us earlier that day, see if we're still planning to do it.
And one thing that I thought that was kind of cool coming up is the Lego Challenge. So talk a little bit about that.
The Lego Challenge is open to anybody ages 11 to 17, and you'll be using Legos to problem solve. So you'll be given a theme. I believe one of the themes is futuristic inventions for one of the dates, and then the other is a better marble maze. So what kind of contraptions can you build with a pile of Legos? You've got a blank slate and a big bucket of Legos, you know, and so you build whatever mechanism.
Whatever comes to your head.
Whatever comes, yeah, be inspired, be creative. But you know, if you create this futuristic object or, you know, whatever your mind can come up with. And then almost like a Rube Goldberg kind of challenge, create this, a marble maze. Like, how can you best transport a marble from one end to the other?
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. It's always fun to see what people come up with.
And so I know we've been talking about the fall. So tell us what you got going on during the winter.
During the winter, we are going to hope that we have great weather and everybody will come to all the wonderful things we're going to be having. But I will be teaching some art classes this winter. So I'll be teaching a watercolor class on edigami art, which is a Japanese paper craft where you create small postcards with a combination of usually fruit or vegetables, some kind of organic image and text.
So it's a little bit different from origami?
A little, yeah, because it's actually using watercolor paint.
Oh, okay.
You actually paint and write on these cards.
Oh, interesting.
What makes it edigami is that you don't keep it, you give it to somebody. They're meant to be given away and shared. Because like origami clause for paper craft and is like you hear an emoji, is to share. So you're giving the paper away. So we'll be talking about kind of the history of that art craft and making cards as well. We also have a wonderful author. I'm very excited that she'll be joining us on December 8th at the Miller Branch, I believe. a Columbia native, Maggie Loeffler. She's written three books. Her newest book is called The Secrets of Flight, and it's kind of an intergenerational story about this World War II aviatrix who has to lie about her identity in order to be able to fly a plane.
And she's like flying missions and stuff.
Flying missions, yeah. Oh, cool. And that, but she can't disclose that she's Jewish because she wouldn't be allowed to fly if she did, so she had to conceal her identity. And the story is kind of about how the impact of that choice and you know, hiding your identity versus embracing your identity and being yourself. And it's told through kind of these multi-generational lens, you know, when she's in conversation with a teenage girl who's struggling with her own identity, and they really come to a resolution through their relationship with each other. And she's born and raised in Columbia, now lives in Pittsburgh, but with the release of this book, she's going to be touring, and she'll be at the library to talk to us. So that's going to be a great one. If you need an autographed book for a holiday present,
come pick
one up from Maggie. Yeah. And then we'll also have an author in January. I believe it's January 14th, Willie Conley. And he is a deaf author. And this is a partnership with Howard County Association of the Deaf. We try and partner with them as much as possible to showcase deaf authors who have made great contributions to literature. And Willie Conley is both a playwright and a photographer and just kind of an all-around amazing kind of Renaissance man. And he's going to be talking about his book, The Deaf Heart. And there'll be voice interpretation and sign interpretation at that Meet the Author event as well. So we hope you can come out and join us for that.
And so is there any, going close to my questions, is there anything I haven't brought up that you want to bring
I
up now?
I think we've covered it all. We've got a lot going on. Oh, I did want to, I'm sorry, I do want to mention something.
Sure.
This winter, we are recruiting anybody who's 18 plus for part of the Human Library Project. So the Human Library Project seeks to overcome kind of cultural or prejudice and stereotypes by having conversations. So we're looking for people to apply to be human books that then you could come to the library and check out and have a conversation with.
Oh, okay.
So let's say you've never spoken to a refugee and you don't understand the refugee experience. We will have a book who is a refugee or somebody of a different religion or somebody of a different culture, somebody of a different background. So you could come and check them out as a book for about 20 minutes, sit down together at the library
and
have a conversation as a human book.
Oh, interesting.
So you can learn a lot through dialogue, and you can learn a lot through human just interaction and conversation. So the Human Library Project really seeks to just create better connections with each other, within communities, within just our relationships by enabling these kinds of conversations. So we'll be having a Human Library event in March, but over the winter, we're encouraging people to apply to be books. So you'll be interviewed and then trained as a Human Library book. And you can get in touch with us at humanlibrary@hclibrary.org if you're interested in applying, or go to our website for information.
Okay, and then last question I have is just, where can listeners go to learn more about the Howard County Public Libraries?
hclibrary.org.
Fantastic. Are you ready for another season with Howard County Public Libraries? For the rest of this fall, they have a bunch of fun events that you are guaranteed to have fun in. Once again, I have been talking with the Events and Seminars Manager of Howard County Public Libraries, Allie Jessing, to talk about everything coming up in the fall and winter. Allie, I want to thank you again for coming on the show today.
Thank you again for having me.
All right. For HOCO Journal, I'm Alex Baker, and we'll be right back on Dragon Digital Radio.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
That's it for our show today. Thanks to Alex, Matt, and all our guests this month, not only for taking the time to speak with us, but also for all that you do to make our community a better place. My sincere thanks to all of you. I also want to thank you for listening to our show and for staying connected with us through our social media, our website, and our podcast page. We hope you will continue to enjoy the shows that we produce, and if you feel inspired maybe to have your own show or to tell your story, just contact me at moviedoo@howardcc.edu or connect with me via Facebook at our page Dragon Digital Radio or on my page at Chris Oviedo. Have a very Merry Christmas and a fantastic start to 2017. We will be back with more shows for you in January. Until then, I am Cris Oviedo.